It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the WNO podcast. I think this is episode, I don't know what episode this is, 136, I think, maybe. It's been a couple of weeks. We went to Puerto Rico, but we're back. It's an exciting event for us, exciting week for us. It's the week of the event. Who's number one? Gordon, or no, Craig? Who's number one? Craig Jones versus Ronaldo Jr.
You got this. Big week we got going on, guys. Right. It's a huge week, a lot of stuff going on. Huge, huge event. It's Tuesday. We're starting rolling on Wednesday with all this who's number one stuff. Craig Jones, Ronaldo Jr. in the main event. Roberto Jimenez versus Gordon Ryan in the co-main event. Huge week for us, man. It's going to be crazy.
Yep, everybody's getting in town tomorrow. On Wednesday, there's going to be the press conference. On Thursday, Friday, the matches kick off at 8 o'clock Eastern time. We're doing the first two matches for free on all our social media and on the site. Jacob Couch, the Hillbilly Hammer versus Elder Cruz, El Monstro, and Danielle Kelly versus Jessica Khan. Crazy lineup for the event. We got, you know, Gordon versus Roberto, Craig versus Ronaldo, Gabby versus Nacielli, Gio versus Juni, Andrew Wiltsy versus PJ Bartz. It's a great event. I can't wait to get going with it. But since the last time that we came and did this show, everything changed. The last time we did this show, we spent half the show previewing Nicky Ryan versus Roberto.
True.
Nicky Ryan gets injured, minor knee injury. Thankfully, he'll be back soon. We're going to run that Roberto versus Nicky sooner or later. But when we're looking for opponents to replace Nicky, we're thinking who's going to be, looking at 185 people, and all of a sudden Gordon Ryan jumps in the chat. Ryan texts me and he wants to get in the match, and it ended up working out. It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Just watching that little intro there for the podcast just got me so hyped up, though. You know, it's who's number one week. That means we're all going to be on Friday packed in that room watching some crazy matches. I can't wait for it. But yeah, like you're saying, we were all looking forward to Nicky Ryan versus Roberto Jimenez. Hopefully that match could maybe still happen sometime in the future down the line. But just so happens that we were in Puerto Rico kind of when this whole thing was going down. If you guys checked out that sick little video that Michael made at the pool with the fire, with Gordon signing the contract, it just was a very apropos moment. Happened to be that Nicky pulled out, and it happened to be that we got the greatest grappler of the moment to step in and face the most exciting grappler of the moment. This one's going to be awesome. We got Corey back there in the house, too. What's up, Corey? You're jacked up about this week, aren't you, too?
Yeah, you know, I've been to, I think, two or three who's number ones at this point. Always one of the most exciting weeks, right? We've got all the athletes coming in. We have everybody doing the weigh-ins, the press conference. So it's just day after day, you know, moment after moment. It's exciting. There's so much going on, and I can't wait for this whole card of matchups.
Yeah, props to Roberto here, because it's like, this is a crazy, like, when Gordon stepped up and said, I'll take Nicky's place, you know, the first thing is like, all right, is Roberto going to do it? Mm. Which most people that are 185, Roberto's not even 185, he's lighter than that usually.
Yeah, definitely.
Are going to say, hell no, I'm not fighting Gordon Ryan. But Roberto just, he doesn't care, man. He's down to fight anybody, anytime. Like,
I think I think it's no secret that, you know, it's tough to find guys to go out there against Gordon, especially in a submission-only rule set, especially in an extended time limit, you know, which is going to happen. So for Roberto to kind of just blindly step up here, which is what we all love about Roberto Jimenez, he really encapsulates what we love about that, like, absolute division, open class of jiu-jitsu, that side of jiu-jitsu. Roberto just, like, embodies that. He's a dude who doesn't care how big, how small you are. He's throwing down. I remember even when I was talking to him in the last Who's Number One, talking to him about the Dante match, I wasn't sure what the weight class was, and I was asking Roberto if he had to cut weight for this match, And Roberto said that he had no idea what the weight class for the Dante match was. So he didn't know if he had to cut weight or not. So that just goes to show you, Roberto's focused on the jiu-jitsu, not necessarily the name, not necessarily the social media antics, and not necessarily the weight class either. So that's what you got to love about Roberto,
and
for sure.
And these guys, these are two guys, you know, very different personalities, but their mentality when it comes to competition is very similar. Neither one of these guys is happy with winning if it's not by a submission. These guys are going to go out there, they're going to shoot the kill. I mean, they're going to be going after each other. 30-minute match, there's almost no chance that this I would not bet on this match going the full regulation. That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at jiu-jitsu, and I don't know the numbers, maybe Corey knows them a little bit better than I do, but I mean, I think when you look at submission percentages, Gordon and Roberto have to be among, you know, the top, the elite there. You know, these guys win, and 90% of the time they win by submission. You know, Roberto's obviously known for taking everybody's back. He had that purple belt run where he just submitted everybody. You know, he's a submission machine, and so is Gordon. I don't know, maybe you have anything to add there,
yeah,
Corey?
Am
I wrong? Am I right?
Because you bring it up, Gordon has something like an 80, it's over 80% submission rate, right? And especially in the last, I think this is off the top of my head, but I think he has 15 submissions in the last 20 matches, or it's in that rate, though. It's incredibly high. Roberto, all of last year, you know, last year was his black belt debut. He had plus 70% submission rate. It was higher in Nogi. Another interesting thing, you know, we talked a lot already about how Roberto will take on whoever, whenever. He was an 88-kilogram competitor at the trials, right, in 2019. Since then, he's had 7 matches against guys who are in the 99 or 99-plus kilogram division, guys that are ADCC veterans. So
Cyborg, like,
yeah, Nicky Cyborg, Nicky Rod, Hulk. I mean, we can go through a whole list, but he doesn't say no to a match. Roberto's not about the matchup, right? He's about the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, Gordon hasn't lost since, I believe, 2017. Or 2018. Vinny Magalhaes, 2018 was his last loss. That's like 38 matches or something crazy ago. Roberto got his black belt last year. His first black belt match was actually at who's number one in the Gi versus Keenan. He's had like 50 matches already since then.
He's fought everybody. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
Roberto's still, I believe, only 20 years old. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think 20. So. Yeah,
which
yeah, I'm
is,
pretty
which
sure.
Which is just crazy. Let me pull up some Roberto Jimenez info. I think he's still 20.
I believe so.
I want to see how many matches this guy's got.
If you guys haven't seen the New Guard story of Roberto there on Flow, check that one out. Definitely. You can see kind of we've been watching Roberto grow up, you know, ever since he was a orange belt, green belt on Flow here. So to see him now out there fighting guys like Gordon Ryan, the biggest names in the sport, biggest black belts, like what an evolution of this guy.
May 19th, 2000. So he's 20 years old still, which is pretty crazy with how many. He's got 41 black belt matches already. So what do you guys think, what's Roberto got to do here? Obviously, he's got to avoid the leg locks. He got heel-hooked by Craig fairly quickly. He almost got heel-hooked by Dante, but then came back to get on his back and win that match. What's the path to victory for Roberto here against Gordon? Obviously, you know, you can never count Roberto out, but anybody's a big underdog against Gordon right now. What do you think Roberto's got to do to get the W here?
I mean, I think it's his quickness and athleticism, for sure. He has that quickness. He has that athleticism. And honestly, when you look at Gordon Ryan, those are two things. Those are the two areas I think he lacks the most. The quickness, athleticism. You know, he has such a kind of like a slow, methodical style. And he's so technical that he just dismantles people. But Roberto's the exact opposite. He has this quickness. He has the pace. You know, he can take your back in a flash. And obviously, I think that's Roberto's best shot at winning here. I think he needs to stay away from the heel hooks. No secret there. But I don't think Gordon is going to be so quick to jump into those leg entanglements with Roberto, just because of the type of person and type of competitor that I think Gordon is. Gordon likes engaging people where they're the strongest, you know, and so I think he'll engage Gordon. I mean, I think he'll engage Roberto with some of these back takes and stuff like that, or at least Roberto will have opportunities to take Gordon's back. So I think that he just needs to stay aggressive. He needs to do what got him to the dance, and that's push the pace, go after people hard, and try to take their backs, man. I think that's Roberto's best shot, but that's just me.
Corey, so you said that Roberto had more subs in his Nogi matches than his Gi matches. I'd imagine those are all from the back. Is that how he's finishing people?
Yeah, most of them from the back. I believe there's a couple arm bars and triangles in there as well. There's a Kimura that I remember from one of the Kumites. But yeah, it's largely back attacks. I want to ask Reed a follow-up to that. Do you think that he fares way better in the first like 5 minutes of the match, that Roberto fares better against Gordon in the earlier maybe 5 to 10 minutes of the match? I imagine as this goes on longer, Gordon's going to have an edge, right? But I wonder where that breaks off.
Maybe, but I think the thing about Roberto is that the dude's got a gas tank. Dude's got a huge gas tank. You mentioned how young he is. You know,
yeah, I don't ever remember him seeing him getting tired.
Even in these matches with Nicky Rod, with Cyborg, yeah. Man, really, he's the one pushing the pace 10 minutes down the line and stuff like that. I feel like, so if he's still in the match 10 minutes into the match, I think it's even better for Roberto, to be honest, that he's weathered maybe Gordon's storms. He's gotten out of the leg entanglements that those first 10 minutes if we're 10 minutes deep. So I think if Roberto's 10 minutes deep into this match, I think it's better. It bodes well for Roberto that he's in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a really smart move for career-wise, too. A lot of people are scared of taking this L against Gordon, but I think this is a win-win for Roberto. Like, he's only 20 years old. He's much smaller than Gordon. Gordon's the undisputed number one pound-for-pound guy in the world right now. If you even go out there and look good against Gordon, it's a win for you. I mean, if he happens to pull off the upset, then, you know, his life's changed forever. But, I mean, even if he goes out and loses, I mean, so what? Gordon's beating everybody. Gordon did double gold at ADCC last time. Go out there, feel him out a little bit. They're probably going to fight a bunch of times more in their career.
Exactly. He's 20 years old. That's the biggest key here, right? You know, I'm not – how old is Gordon? Is it going? 26, 25?
25, I think.
So, you know, he's 5 years younger than Gordon. So get this match in now. They are going to face each other multiple times down the line here. You know, when Gordon's 30 and Roberto's 25, it might be a different story. But yeah, man, this is the time to get the matches against the best in the world. And I think that's what Roberto really understands. Like, he's out there for reps. He's out there to get better. And he's out there to win for sure, too.
Yeah, so. Gordon is excited for it too. When I did that interview with him in Puerto Rico, he was like, you know, he's excited if somebody's going to do jiu-jitsu against him, not somebody's going to back out and just try and survive. Like, Roberto's going to come after him. Apparently there was a comment, what's the weight discrepancy? It's hard to tell because Roberto's weight fluctuates a lot. I've seen him weigh in anywhere from 174 to the 190s. Gordon, however, though, is pretty consistent. Gordon is the high, like, two teens, like 217, 218 is usually what Gordon is. So I would say probably 25 to 30 pounds.
Yeah, if BJJ Stars is any indicator, Roberto weighed in at 88 kilograms. So what's that put him at? About 190.
Did he weigh in at that, or was he under it?
Because I thought he was pretty much at it. I could have misheard it, but yeah.
All right, so he's back up there. He weighed in for the Dante match at 174. So I'm saying the guy's weight goes up and down. So probably 25, 30 pounds then. Question from Michael. Are you filming new episodes of Daisy Fresh coming into this event with two PSF fighters on the WNL card? Correct. Good guess.
took the words.
The girl who shoots it with me, Simone, is going to be there filming couch and Wiltsy. And there's also like five or six other episodes already shot that are being edited. So we have a big announcement about Daisy Fresh Season 2 coming Friday night. So tune into the broadcast for that. So
stay tuned for plenty of announcements. Yeah. You're gonna want to be tuning in for the fights, but we also got some cool announcements on the way for sure.
Several big announcements coming. You want to talk Puerto Rico a little bit?
I know. Yeah, we got to talk a little bit of Puerto Rico.
Me and Reed just got back before the snowpocalypse, and we went to Puerto Rico for a week. Got back to Austin, and then it snowed 6 inches.
I had my feet in the sand and ocean on Friday. And then Sunday, I had no power or I had no water, and my everything was covered in ice. So it was quite the stark contrast.
Man, it was such a cool trip, though, right? Like, Puerto Rico was it's way different than I expected to. Where they lived, Dorado, is really nice. Like, it's beautiful. Anywhere you go is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems safe. I mean, it wasn't like no bad traffic or anything. But what do you think about the training situation down there? It's pretty interesting. It's like they basically just transferred the Blue Basement over to Puerto Rico. It's all the same cast and characters, right?
Wow. Yeah, first of all, Puerto Rico, I mean, I was expecting to have a great time down there and to enjoy the tropical weather. But wow, what a paradise it is down there. I can totally see why everybody wants down there. I'm excited to go back and vacation and train with the guys. I'm sure it's going to be a huge destination for jiu-jitsu around the world. What a great little setup they have down there. But yeah, I was definitely taken aback by how much of the Blue Basement, how many of these New York and New Jersey-based grapplers traveled with the squad down there in Puerto Rico. You know, there's just there's a lot of guys down there. A lot of the Canadian mafia crew is down there. It is suddenly cropped up basically out of nowhere and is one of the tough, automatically one of the toughest jiu-jitsu rooms in the world in Puerto Rico right now. It's incredible.
I think it's going to become a major training destination. It's just like how people used to go to Rio. Mm-hmm. People used to go stay at like Connection Rio and Baja and try and get that good training. I think we're going to see no-gi people trying to go down there and post up at an Airbnb or whatever in Dorado and train with these guys for a little bit. They got a school underway. It was just a really interesting seeing what the dynamic is like down there, and it's going to be interesting when they open their school, how it goes, how things turn out. And I think this is only going to be positive for them. I mean, just hearing these guys how much time they're saving not commuting mm-hmm. across New York and New Jersey every day. It's like they're all confident that they're progressing much more rapid now in Puerto Rico than they were in New York.
For sure. I mean, you know, that is one thing. I'm not sure. You know, Corey comes from the New York jiu-jitsu scene, and also I'm not sure what the New York jiu-jitsu scene is going to look like after this. But you know, you can't blame these guys for taking their, you know, training into their own hands and going down to Puerto Rico. You know, these guys are professional athletes, Craig Jones and Gordon and Nikki, of course. So, man, that was a sick little throw that he hits right there.
Yeah, Craig's good at that throw. He did that to Dante. I've seen him do it a couple times.
He does that all the time, man. He sets that up with that overhook.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys see this stuff here, we have all kinds of training footage actually on the site. We have like 10 rounds of them rolling. We have technique stuff. We have, all kinds of good stuff. Good interviews with that Reed shot with Craig, Gordon, sat down John Danaher.
Sat down with John, Gordon, Craig. Got a lot of that stuff on the site already. More to come for sure. A lot of training rounds. You know, Nikki and Craig give us a couple techniques so you can learn some of the jiu-jitsu that they're doing down there. Just an incredible trip. We were there for, you know, 4 days and, you know, already – couldn't wait to go to get back there. You know, there's so much of the island to explore. A shout out to Fernando and Juan, Luis and Oscar and the whole Puerto Rico crew down there who really made us all, you know, feel like family. And you know, all the guys for opening up the gym and inviting us in. It was a incredible experience. We got to explore a little bit of old San Juan. And
Reed's brother in the background there if you've never seen him.
Yeah, that's the bro. And then you got to go hike around with Craig and Tazis and got to go to the beach and stuff like that. We're going to have a lot more of this PR content kind of coming out the next month or so. So definitely be on the lookout for it. But wow, what a trip. Can't wait to go back for sure, man.
Question is, am I doing a fight companion commentary with Tommy and Mikey for this? No, definitely not for this one. I mean, I think we're going to start trying to do that for stuff like BJJ Stars, but just who's number one. We all got to be on the ground there. I got to sort of do, you know, organizational stuff there. So, no, there will be no sort of fight companion, but Howell and Chase will be doing the commentary. There will be a pre-show as well with some big names joining them, pre-show, post-show, but no fight companion type of thing for this. Maybe we'll do it afterwards, Saturday Night Rewind or something. Mm. But, all right, so you guys want to get into picking these matches?
Let's pick them.
All right.
Let's do it. We got 7 matches on this Who's Number One card. We're going to go down the line.
I think there's 3 matches here that we haven't even talked about really before today because I think the prelims as well had not been discussed. They had not been announced the last time we did a show, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So these first two, if you guys didn't know, these are the first two are going to be free streamed everywhere, Facebook, YouTube, the app, the site. Just watch it. It doesn't matter if you're a Flow Grappling member. After that, once you get to the Wilty match and on, those will only be on flowgrappling.com or the app with a membership. All right, first one. A lot of people might not know about these guys, but I think they're going to know about them in the coming years because these guys are two, you know, very hot prospects, up-and-comers. Great personalities, exciting fighters. Jacob Couch, as you may not know from the Daisy Fresh series, the Hillbilly Hammer, put biscuits and gravy on people, all that stuff. Going against Elder Cruz from Checkmate La Habra, Lucas Leitch student. El Monstro, he calls himself. He does this thing. If you're familiar with the IBJJF scene, you might know. Sort of a grudge match here. They fought, and Purple Belt, Couch won. Purple Belt, Nogi Pans, like, tapped everybody, did really well. Then they fought at American Nationals. Elder Cruz beat him 0-0. Neither guy was happy with the match. Nothing really happened. It was a short match, 0-0. So they hit us up and just basically talked their way onto this card, which was very smart of them. I mean, they're flying out here. They're going to fight on the free prelims, and they're going to settle it with 15-minute submission-only rules. What do you think about this one, Reed?
Yeah, man. Low-key, one of the best matches on the card here. Two of the best purple belts, bar none, in the world. Elder Crew's been beating down our door to let him show his stuff on a show like Who's Number One for a while.
Well, he was... I always forget about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
He was on that first
That's
one.
Right.
The
yeah,
Gi
yeah.
one. Who did he fight? I can't even remember. But yeah, he was on that first one, which seems like a different.
Yeah,
doesn't seem like it's actually Who's Number One. It was such so different. But
yeah, yeah. And then one time I saw Elder Cruz at the Fight to Win, and he bombarded me in the bathroom, and him and his boys were like, "Yo, get me on one of these cards." You know, shout out to the Czech Matt LaHabra. Seems like they have a lot of. Great dudes coming out of that one. And then, yeah, what can you say about Jacob Couch out there? His performance at Nogi Pans was just, like, incredible. Loved that match there he had at the end, the finals of the Absolute Division there. Great match. His star has been rising. He's a great personality. Love him. He's featured all over the Daisy Fresh series. Star in the making. Reminds me of a young Gordon Ryan, to be honest. So this is a great match.
Very charismatic guy. If you want to know more about Jacob Couch, actually episode 3 is streaming free all week. That's the first one he's featured in. So just go to the site. You can watch episode 3.
We
put episode 1 on YouTube last week too. If you want to go watch it on YouTube. But something with Couch too. Guy may be a purple belt, but he recently had a subspectrum tournament in Iowa, submitted Jared Dopp, ADCC silver medalist. He hooked ADCC silver medalist. It's pretty crazy.
Dopp's a killer. Yeah, absolutely. Veteran.
Okay, so I was told here Elder Cruz went up against Lucas Montalvone at Who's Number One. I can't even remember who won that one. But all right, let's get into picking this one. I think everybody's going to know who I'm going to go with. No disrespect to Elder Cruz, but I got to take my boy here, Jacob Couch, the Hillbilly Hammer. I think in this rule set... Elder Cruz says he can beat Couch in any rules. He's Daisy Fresh's worst nightmare. Beat him IBJJF sub only anything, but I think 15 minutes sub only rules. It's going to be tough to beat Jacob Couch. His game is so great for this, and I'm going to have to go with Couch for this one. I'll say Couch by heel hook, inside heel hook.
For sure, tough match there for Elder. Jacob just on fire. Looks like, you know, kind of his year. But I'll take Elder Cruz in this one. You know, he's been, like I said, he's been beating down my door for a little while, trying to let him go out there and prove himself, show his jiu-jitsu off. So I'm going to take his word for it that he's got something, and hopefully he won't let me down. Corey?
Yeah, you know, we've seen this match before, and it's always close, right? The one difference maker, I think, is going to be the heel hooks. Like Michael said, Couch submitted Jared Dopp, ADCC silver medalist, with a heel hook. I think that's going to be the difference maker. I also have Couch by heel hook.
What's he call himself? Elder calls himself the Daisy Fresh's worst nightmare.
Daisy Fresh's worst nightmare.
Daisy Fresh's worst nightmare.
If,
so
you guys, if you're not familiar with these guys, because they're sort of up and comers, Couch has got a very similar game to Gordon, almost like he's modeled it off of Gordon with the half butterfly and the entries he gets into to leg locks. Elder Cruz is just sort of like, I mean,
he's got a wrestling background.
He breaks people with relentless pressure. He never gets tired.
Yep.
And he just keeps going, and keeps, you know, and then eventually passes a guard, gets in the back, or whatever.
And definitely that room there in Czech Matt LaHabra with Leo Leitch and the Luna brothers, and they have a good stable of up and comer guys that he's training with every day. So, you know, just I think it's a great gym versus a great gym, great story. Both these guys have a lot to say to each other. So I'm looking forward to seeing them tomorrow and how they interact all week, and then of course the match on Friday. Man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too. It's like as we've seen with the Ruotolos, Nicky Rod, like being a purple belt doesn't matter in Nogi. These guys are going to be fighting the best in the world very soon. I think within a year we'll probably be seeing both these guys again up there. The best
no world. Doubt Couch and Cruz already at that black belt level. Really, it's just a formality.
So the next match, women's strawweight, 115-pound match. We had a women's strawweight match on the December card. Maissa Bastos defeated Grace Gungerman, a really close one.
Yep.
I have a feeling whoever wins this one's going to end up, probably the winner and loser of this are going to end up against those two in some way. But we have Jessica Kahn from AOJ versus Danielle Kelly fighting out of Silver Fox, the whole Hensel Gracie, New York, New Jersey squad. So this is an interesting one. It's sort of a clash of styles, I feel. I feel like Jessa is associated more with the IBJJF style. Danielle is sort of associated more with, like, the super fight, like that no-gi circuit, sub-only type of thing. What do you think about this
East Coast, West Coast?
Yeah, it is East Coast versus West Coast war going on here. Yeah. What do you think about this one, Reed?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, these two are premier elite strawweight grapplers here. Both of them black belts. We've watched Jessa Khan really grow up in the IBJJF circuit. She dominated. We watched her dominate everything pretty much at blue belt. We watched her dominate pretty much everything at purple belt and brown belt. You know, now she's a black belt, taking on the best. And really, there's not a whole lot of girls in this weight class, so it's a perfect matchup for Danielle Kelly. Like you said, she's kind of comes from a little bit more of the sub only East Coast. She's out there, I believe, with J. Rilabuto and some of those guys. I've seen her training, of course, with the Dan Her Death Squad in the past. So, you know, she's well versed in the nogi, heel hook, leg lock game. So I think it's definitely, like you said, a clash of styles, but you couldn't get a better matchup. Both these girls are the very best.
I'll let you kick this one off. I went last time. Who you got in this matchup?
This match is going to be an interesting one for sure. It's hard to know how they're exactly. Corey, have these two? Have they fought before?
I don't think so.
They know?
No.
So they've always just kind of been on different circuits, it seems like, huh?
They're going to probably fight a whole bunch of times, though, coming up. Has Jessa competed at black belt yet since she got it? She got her black belt near the end of last year. I don't know. This might be her first black belt match.
Definitely early on in the career, but you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and take Danielle Kelly. I think that, you know, for the rule set, for the who's number one, she's had some big matches recently. I think on Fight Pass and things like that with similar rule sets. She's definitely you know, more well versed in the leg locks, in the submission only stuff. No knock on Jessa Khan. She's absolutely capable of winning this one as well, but I just think Danielle is going to have the edge in some of these submission exchanges, and she'll be able to catch Jessa.
Corey, who you got?
Yeah, you know, Danielle's the underdog here, but I'm siding with her as well. I think, right, she's had her black belt for a little bit longer. She's got more experience in the specific rule set. Jessa comes from a dangerous camp, and she is a very well-rounded competitor. You know, she's proficient gi, no gi, most any style, but I think Danielle just has the experience to back this one up.
All right, both you guys taking Danielle Kelly. I'm sort of surprised. I'm going to go with Jessa Khan in this one. I think Danielle might be more accustomed to this type of rule set, this type of event, but I think Jessa Khan is just, she's high, very high level jiu-jitsu. I think it's going to translate to any type of style.
She'll be ready.
She's going to be ready. I'm going to go with Jessa Khan to take this one. So those are the two free matches that will be available on the prelims. Coming up, this next one is really exciting. This is the type of match we try and put together on these things, right? Where we know both guys are going to come out and get after it. Mm-hmm. Like, neither one of these guys, Andrew Wiltie, PJ Barch, is going to just go out there and try and survive and hope that they win a decision. These guys are going to scramble. They're going to get after it. They're submission hunters. I think the same situation as the first one. Everybody knows who I'm going to take. I'm going to take Andrew Wiltie. I think his size will be a little bit too much for PJ in this one. What do you think, Reed?
You want to throw it to Corey here? Throw it to Corey next.
Corey was actually supposed to kick this one off. Yeah, Corey, go ahead.
That's all right. This is a really tough one to call, right? Because Andrew is bigger, but PJ is scrappy, and that can bring the best Andrew and the best match for Andrew that we could possibly see. I'm leaning Andrew in this one, but it's really a toss-up for me. I just think that if Andrew gets to his guard first, it's going to be a challenge for PJ to get past.
What do you think PJ's got to do to get the W here, Corey?
He's got to get an early takedown and get the side. Which, I mean, he's got a great takedown game, but he needs to. Andrew's guard is no joke, right? If he's there trying to pass Andrew's guard, he's going to end up in a lot of trouble. So he needs to get to a dominant position early and turn the heat up.
Well, I think sort of a weakness that we've seen with Wiltie is the leg game. Like, he almost got heel hooked by Isaiah Wright at Fight to Win. He did get heel hooked by Tackett at BJJ Woodstock. So I think that could be another route. What do you think about this one, Reed?
So where are you landing, Corey?
With Andrew.
All right, going with Andrew. Gotcha. Yeah, no, for sure. Love this match. Another Daisy Fresh match. That's what I love about the Daisy Fresh guys, is they not only have just a great story and are out there killing themselves in the gym and stuff like that, but these dudes compete. They back it up. Andrew, of course, one of the most credentialed competitors coming out of the Daisy Fresh camp. You know, really, this dude is so seasoned as a competitor. It's something we don't talk about Andrew enough. Like, he's one of the most seasoned competitors on the entire card, to be honest. He's fought, you know, who's who out there. He's fought Kynan. He's fought everybody out there on the IBJJF circuit, doing these super fights as well and stuff like that. So definitely, Andrew has the experience for sure. But I'm going to go PJ Barch here, just because you know, I like his game for this rule set as well. We've seen Wiltsy, yeah, maybe stumble, have a little trouble in these extended time limits with no points. So I like PJ Barch's game in this one. Of course, he's got the leg lock games. He's got the wrestling pedigree. You know, he's very explosive and athletic. That's something that he uses to his advantage as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, leaping over Wiltsy's guard, going for Kimura traps and stuff like that, doing cartwheels over the guard. I think he's going to try to make this a high pace athletic match, and that lends itself to PJ Barch with the win. So that's where I'm going to go.
It might be the match of the night there. We always talk about what's going to be the match of the night, but we don't actually give out an award. We give a submission of the night. Maybe we should give out a match of the night award.
Yeah,
as well.
Especially if these guys are throwing down.
Corey, I'll let you kick off the next one. Junie versus Gio. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so this is probably one of my favorite matches of the night. I think stylistically it makes the most sense. Gio and Junie have kind of developed in the same method, right? They're both leg lockers. They're both really talented guard players. They both have passing ability. If it comes down to it, I'm looking at their last match, not so much as a blueprint of what's going to happen, but as a blueprint of probably where they're both coming from. The last match, Junie won 2-0 at Kasai. It was a short, like 5 or 6 minute match. I think he has grown enough to get the W here. Now Gio's grown a lot too. He got himself all the way up to the number one spot at 145. But I think Junie has developed leaps and bounds from that previous match. I think that one of the bigger weaknesses we've seen from Gio, he's got a tough guard, but it's passable, right? Kennedy was able to pass him. Paulo had him under some pressure there. And I think that's something that we don't see a lot from Junie, but he definitely has a great passing game. I think that's what he's going to lean on here to attack Gio, and I have him by either head and arm choke or by decision.
Yeah, Junie is like, he's on a roll. He's won 6 of his last 7. He only lost to Kennedy. Kennedy has beat both these guys. He beat Gio and Junie. Coming in with a bunch of wins, he won it. Who's number one? Gaito, a whole bunch of fight to win matches. I'm going to say Gio evens it up here and makes it 1-1, though. Something I want to see from Gio, though. Gio's such a chill guy, and I think it sort of translates into his rolling sometimes, where it's like nobody can do anything to him, but it's by the end, it's like even the Paulo match was super close. I'd like to see Gio come out here and go for the kill. I think if he really pressures Junie, he can do some serious damage here. I'm going to say Gio coming off of that loss is going to avenge his loss against Junie, just like he did against Paulo Miao, who's number one in October. I'm going to say Gio comes out on top here. What do you think, Reed?
Yeah, I think that's something that works some into Gio's favor sometimes and to his detriment, where he's happy to go out there and just show his jiu-jitsu, doesn't really care about the win or the loss, to be honest. You know, he just wants to go out there and show good jiu-jitsu. I think he's got a bit of a sour taste in his mouth from the last Junie match, you know, talking to him. I think that's one he definitely has wanted back for some time. That match was like almost 2 years ago at this point, or it was a while ago, right?
2019.
So it was 2019. So it was a while ago. I think that's one he's wanted back for a little while. So I'm gonna take Gio as well, especially on this Who's Number One. He's basically you know, our most veteran competitor on these Who's Number One shows. He knows exactly what to expect. He knows exactly how to win these matches. So I'm gonna go with Gio.
Gio's got we're talking about Gordon at 80%. Gio's got a 70% finish rate in his wins as well.
Wow.
23 out of 33 wins by submission.
Yeah, so many times, especially early in his career, that subversive and stuff like that, you know, like his jiu-jitsu, they're out of nowhere, he has these flashes of brilliance. You know, he really does. He kind of has a relaxing style, and then all of a sudden, he's submitting dudes with go-go platas and stuff like that. Like, it's just some of the sickest jiu-jitsu you've ever seen, you know. And hopefully we get to see that stuff versus Junie, because they definitely have very similar styles, I think. And I think they'll bring the best out of each other.
Before we move on, one thing on Michael's point about Gio hopefully moving forward and attacking more in this match. In most Who's Number One matches, I think Gio thinks he has a leg lock advantage, so he's trying to rope people into his leg game.
Yeah, he had Kennedy on the edge there for a while.
And he was really playing a heavy leg attack game against Paulo, too. I think he'll know that Junie's an adequate, you know, leg attacker, and he might want to put on the pressure. And when Gio came up against Paulo and started passing, he did an exceptional job of really pressuring Paulo's guard. So if he decides, I don't want to attack Junie's legs, I want to play a different game, he could really have an edge there.
Junie might have the better leg locks, for sure. You know, that which
he's
is
a leg lock guy.
Yeah, that's surprising.
He's like the leg lock specialist over there at Unity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he picked up a lot when Eddie Cummings was training there as well.
Mm.
So let's go to the next match. Gabby Garcia versus Nat Jaley DeJesus. The haters online and Instagram comments don't seem to realize this, but these two are 1-1 against each other. This is not a squash match by any means. Nat Jaley is like a 5-time IBJJF Black Belt World Champion, I believe, in the gi. She's also won it a couple times, no gi.
2-time absolute champion, I believe.
Yeah, she's no joke, but these two have fought each other twice. They're 1-1 against each other. Nat Jaley won the most recent at Fight to Win, which was, I think, a couple years ago. It was a while ago.
2019, probably.
So, I mean, this is their rubber match. This one's no gi, though. Nat Jaley could become the first one to beat Gabby in gi and no gi, but beating Gabby in no gi's a tall task. That's going to be tough to pull off. Nat Jaley's guard, I feel. I mean, I don't know too much about Nat Jaley. I've seen her compete so much in the gi. I don't know too much about her no gi game. I don't know what her guard is going to be like. But, I mean, in the gi, like when she beat Gabby, from what I remember, was all very dependent on, like, lasso spider type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Gabby's dangerous in no gi. I mean, she starts snapping you down. She's going to get on top. She's going to out-wrestle you. And then she gets you to half guard. She might just finish you with shoulder pressure there. She might pass, get to an Americana. But I'm going to say we're going to see Gabby Garcia by Americana from either half guard, top half, or from side control.
I've been saying the whole time, man, I like Nat Jaley DeJesus in this matchup for sure. I'm going to take Nat Jaley just because, like, I remember how she was after she lost at Pans. We talked to her afterwards, and she was seething. She was so ready to go back out there. She's like, all I wanted to do was fight Gabby again immediately, because she said as soon as the match was over, she felt like she had the key. She had the key to solve Gabby Garcia, and she proved it the next time they fought at Fight to Win. She was the more offensive. She was the person who was able to get more sweeps and stuff like that. We were able to see Elizabeth Clay get to a few advantageous positions in Gabby's last Who's Number One match, you know, and I think that Nat Jaley will have a similar strategy, go for these omoplatas, try to maybe throw up triangles to omoplata. She has these really, really long legs. So I think that Nat Jaley's path to victory there is she's going to pull guard for sure. She's not going to stand up with Gabby, and she's going to look for these omoplata sweeps. She's going to look for these off balances and things like that, and try to get the win that way. And I think it's possible for her, for sure.
Man, I would not want to be the girl that's going up against Gabby after beating her last time, because Gabby takes it. It's like Michael Jordan in the last dance. I took that personal. Like, Gabby does not want to lose this match and go down 2-1 against the best girl from the generation after.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby's very hyper competitive. I mean, that's why she's made it to whatever her ridiculous record is of like 70-5. If Nat Jaley could pull this off, it would be crazy. But yeah, Gabby takes it personal.
Yeah, but you look at, you know, Nat Jaley is, of course, just down the street from us here in San Antonio, not too far away. You've seen Hibamar out there, extremely active. He's doing Fight to Wins every weekend, it seems like. Nat Jaley's, you know, has been wanting to get out there. Not too many people for her, but this is a huge, huge match for her. I think she knows how important it is. They're training hard down there in San Antonio. We've been there and visited them. They know how important this match is. So yeah, I think she's taking it very, very seriously.
What are you thinking here, Corey?
Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at this particular matchup a couple weeks ago. I did an article kind of breaking down Nat Jaley's path to victory. So I think it's not a squash match by any means. She has an opportunity to beat Gabby. Now, her most utilized weapon in the gi, and the one that she used the most against Gabby, was her spider guard, her lasso guard. Not going to be as readily available here. She's got a great close guard. The thing that concerns me about her playing close guard is that feeds into what we saw Gabby do the entire match against Elizabeth Clay, right? Looking for that body lock style Paulo pass. That being said, Nat Jaley has longer legs than Liz Clay does. She might be able to get to those omoplata, gogoplata sequences a little bit earlier. And while I think it's plausible, it's not by any means a long shot that she can win, I still think Gabby has more of the weapons. She's a more decorated no-gi competitor. And like Michael said, she's going to want this one back.
Seems like everybody thinks Omoplata is the way, huh? Is that, Liz almost got one at the, Nacelli's got a good Omoplata.
She does. And of course, that's Gabby's game, right? She's going to hunker down and she's going to use her pressure to pass the guard, you know? So she leaves few openings. She's so good at it for a reason. She's a four-time ADCC champion, certainly for a reason. So there's only a few openings here in this match probably, but I think Nacelli can capitalize.
Reed, you want to pick first in the co-main event?
Oh, co-main event, Gordon Ryan versus Roberto Jimenez. Man, this one's got me so jacked up. Obviously, I was looking forward to the Nicky Ryan matchup. But
should we talk about why this is a co-main? I don't know if we mentioned that
exactly.
Earlier.
Co-main event, you still got Craig and Ronaldo in the main event. Obviously, Gordon Ryan, one of the biggest names in the sport. Maybe you can talk to this, Michael. Why aren't these two guys in the main event?
Yeah, it really doesn't get much bigger than this, but Gordon is just a good teammate. He took his brother's spot and jumped in here. I mean, this would be the main event on basically any card, any time, but he didn't want to bump his teammate. So that's why Craig Jones stays in the main event, and then Gordon slides into the co-main. But it really doesn't get any bigger than this. This could main event any card out there.
Of course, you know, kind of weird. Of course, we've done a lot of this promo, and of course, Ronaldo deserves to be there. Craig deserves to be there in the main event. They've done their part. So it'd be kind of weird to take that away from them once they already kind of give him the main event, right?
The event was already called who's number one, Craig versus Ronaldo anyways, but who are you taking in this one?
There you go. Gordon Ryan, of course, is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, no-gi grappler of the moment, but somebody sometime is going to beat Gordon Ryan. Can we agree on that? Can we agree that somebody is going to beat Gordon eventually? You guys agree?
Yeah, it's got to happen, right? It seems far-fetched, kind of, because the way that he's getting better and better, like, he's not the same guy who lost to these. He really improves, unlike at a level faster than his colleagues, and he's not the same guy who lost to Vinny Magalhães or Felipe Pena.
True. It's very true. It's hard to argue against the things that Gordon has accomplished out there. But sitting in bed last night, thinking to myself, you know, if I believe that somebody eventually is going to beat Gordon Ryan, the question I have to ask myself is, could that person be Roberto Jimenez? And the answer to that question for me is absolutely yes. Roberto Jimenez can be the person who beats Gordon Ryan. So I'm taking the upset. I'm taking Roberto Jimenez to shock the world. I think he can take Gordon's back and make things interesting. Maybe we'll see a trilogy this year with these guys. Maybe this kicks off a trilogy. I think Roberto Jimenez has got the tools. He's in the right headspace to do this. He doesn't care who Gordon Ryan is. Everybody who fights Gordon Ryan has to get over that hump of who Gordon Ryan is on social media or whatever that they have. You know, it's a mental edge that Gordon inherently has against everybody except for Roberto Jimenez. That's right, people. You heard it here first. I'm picking Roberto.
So what do you think? How's he going to get on the back? Is it going to be like a Pergisa style, like Gordon's going for leg entry, and he sort of bolos him out of it?
I think so. You know, it might not be some jiu-jitsu that even I can decipher when I see it. You know, it might just be this crazy scramble that we're going to have to spend weeks breaking down to see how he did it. Who knows how he's going to do it? But, yeah, I think, you know, in those scrambles, that's where Roberto thrives, right? We saw it against Dante and stuff. You know, all these guys, we see it that he thrives in the scramble. He thrives in the chaos. And I think Gordon can sometimes be a little late in those exchanges, and that's where Roberto wins.
Corey, who you got here?
I got to go with the favorite here. I think, like Reed said, Roberto has a shot. He's not being given one. If you look at, you know, the betting odds, for example, he's a long shot here. I don't think it's going to be that much of a differential between the two, especially if Roberto plays kind of a strategy game and puts the pace on Gordon. That being said, I think Gordon has too many weapons here, and he's the kind of strategist that will give up his back in order to take a leg. You know, he may show a weakness and take what he wants. And he may hunt legs for 10 minutes and end up on a Kimura or a triangle. We've seen him do it all. We've seen that he can do it all. I think Gordon Ryan's an easy call here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a match. You got to be excited about this one. Gordon's not going to have to chase down Roberto. Roberto's going to come after him. What I like about Gordon here, I mean, I'm picking Gordon against anybody in the world right now, but what I like about Gordon here is even if Roberto does get him in one of those bad positions, Gordon's defense, his jiu-jitsu from bad positions from somebody, like if you watch him train, he puts himself there all the time. That's basically where he's always starting from. He's letting people get
on his back. Yeah.
Letting people mount him, letting people pass his guard, and then he's going from there. I think his defense, his technique from there, even if Roberto gets on his back, I think Gordon escapes, and now he's got, you know, 25, 20 more minutes, a 30-minute match. I think this is going to be a tough one for Roberto at this point, but I think it'll be a nice chance for him to feel him out because these guys are going to no doubt fight many times in the coming years. But I'm going to say Gordon Ryan is going to get this one. I'm going to say different than the leg lock. I think he gets on the back and gets to RNC.
I almost convinced you guys, though. You guys were thinking about picking Roberto after that stirring speech.
It's tough to count out Roberto. He's pulled off all kinds of crazy submission victories over the years. All right, let's get to the main event. Craig Jones versus Arnaldo Jr., DDS versus Atos. These guys have been going back and forth, John, but just nonstop since this match was announced. Hulk Andre on one side, Gordon on the other side. Craig and Arnaldo have been pretty quiet, but they're still going out here representing these teams against each other, the two best Nogi teams in the world. I think this is just a tough matchup for Arnaldo right now. It's 15 minutes with Craig. Craig's dangerous. I mean, Arnaldo's going to be standing up trying to pass. He's going to be moving a lot, but, I mean, Craig's going to have a lot of opportunities to get on those legs. If he gets on those leg entries, he's very efficient, very precise there. And I just think in that aspect of the game, he's on another level than Arnaldo. I think Craig takes this one by heel hook. I've picked like four people by heel hook already, by the way. But, all right, I think Craig takes it by heel hook.
Corey, you want to jump in?
Yeah. I'm going to kind of echo Michael here. I made this point when we first announced this match that Arnaldo does not have I've got to recheck the stats, but I don't believe he's had a submission win in Nogi yet in his black belt career. Now, of course, he's a great passer. He has a really explosive game. He's got great arm bars, great triangles. I just think that in the Nogi sphere against Craig Jones, he's going to be just a little bit out of his element. And I think that we are going to get probably a Craig. Let's go other than heel hook. I think we're going to get Craig by either rear naked choke or a triangle.
Well, I couldn't tell you how wrong both of you are in your picks here.
He's taking the upset.
I am taking the upset. See, the one thing that Arnaldo Jr. has in his favor is the element of surprise. And that is going to be key, I think, for Arnaldo. Even Craig said it in his interviews we did with him, you know, and stuff. He doesn't know what Arnaldo is going to do. He doesn't know what Arnaldo is going to bring to the table. You know what Arnaldo knows? Exactly what Craig is going to bring to the table here. You think that Andre and the rest of Atos have not been preparing Arnaldo for exactly the situations that he's going to see against Craig Jones in this match? This is a huge match. DDS, like you said, versus Atos. It's coming to a head here. Believe me, these guys are taking this match very seriously. There's a lot on the line, just way beyond just Craig winning or Arnaldo losing. You know, a lot of team pride here on the mat. Believe me, I think Arnaldo is going to be ready for everything Craig Jones has to offer. If you think Arnaldo is not a high-level black belt, gi or no gi, you know, you're wrong about that. This dude is elite for sure. He's going to be a black belt world champion. You know, if we had worlds this year, maybe Arnaldo and Roberto would be both black belt world champions already. Who knows? But I have no shame in taking Arnaldo Jr. This should be a fun one regardless. Obviously, Craig is an elite grappler as well, but this should be Arnaldo's coming out party.
Gotta love Arnaldo's mentality, too. Very similar to Roberto. Remember, he was going to fight Gordon no time limit before Gordon got COVID.
He doesn't care.
He gets after it. And that's the right mentality to have when you're up and comer. What's the worst that's going to happen? He's going to lose to Craig Jones, who he's supposed to lose to. He's going out there in a main event on who's number one. He's going to build his name up. He's going to get a chance to feel this guy out, who's going to fight again eventually. I mean, Arnaldo, he gets after it. I mean, I don't know how many guys I've hit up trying to give him matches on these things, and they say, I want a different opponent or this and that, and I just don't talk to him again.
Win or lose, Arnaldo sets himself up for another huge match here.
When you know Arnaldo or Roberto or the type of guys that you can just hit up and they'll take any match, anybody, anytime, anywhere, like that's a good way to get on the card.
That's the spirit of jiu-jitsu. That's what we're looking for, these fun matches, you guys who just are ready to throw down. Like, that's all seven of those matches are guys and girls who go after it.
Yeah, too many people out there trying to pick and choose their opponents. You look at this lineup, it's people that are exciting, people that go for the finish, and people who are just down to fight whoever. So, big week coming up. Everybody's arriving tomorrow. There'll be a whole bunch of content with that. 5:30 Eastern time on Thursday will be the press conference, weigh-in shortly before that. 8 o'clock Eastern time, the event starts on Friday. The first two matches free, and then the next five on the site.
Get me sick, my man.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
I think,
absolutely.
I think that's good for us. We can go ahead and kill it, Tyler. Everybody, make sure you tune in this week. Watch our social media for everything going on.
My name is Ronaldo Jr. I'm from Brazil. I train at Atos Jiu-Jitsu HQ in San Diego.
My name is Craig Jones. I train with Henzo Gracie Academy, specifically the Danaher Death Squad.
My style is kind of aggressive. I think it's going to be a very exciting match for the people who love Jiu-Jitsu.
Typically, a lot of people will watch me compete to see the finishes. And in regards to those finishes, mostly heel hooks.
Now is my time. I'm excited.
For sure, it's going to be exciting.